to Christ the Center, your weekly conversation, Reformed Theology. My name is Camden Busey, and I'm back here in Grays Lake, Illinois, with some great folks. We're delighted to speak about another exciting topic, talking Puritans today. And of course, if we're going to talk Puritans, we're always going to want our regular contributor, Jeff Waddington, who serves as Stated Supply at Fawn Grove OPC, well, Faith OPC in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. Welcome back, Jeff. It's always good to see you.
Oh, it's always good to be here. I wasn't sure if you were going to say Fawn Grove OPC in Faith, Pennsylvania, but, you know, that works too.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
And Jeff,
and
of course.
I should say that I've read a lot of the Puritans, but I would not consider myself an expert. I haven't read enough of that.
Sure. But Jeff, of course, has done a tremendous amount of scholarly work on Jonathan Edwards. Edwards is mentioned in the film, the resource we're going to be talking about today. And so, Jeff, it's good to have you with us, and it's good to have your insight as we're speaking with two guests today. We've had on the program once before. We have David Woolen. Dave serves as the sales and marketing manager for Reformation Heritage Books. He also does some work with Dr. Beakey there at RHB and Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids. And perhaps most significantly or importantly, he is a pastor of Grace Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church there in the GR. So welcome back, David. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to be back. Thanks for having me. And I'm also not a Puritan expert when I'm sitting three offices down from Dr. Beakey,
yes.
But I'll try my best.
Well, you get a lot more of it by osmosis than any of the rest of us, I think.
In relative terms, I feel like a pauper when I'm, you know, 12-second walk away from him.
Nevertheless, we're thankful to have you with us. Looking forward to talk about this resource. We also have with us Matthew Robinson, and he works for, serves with Media Gratiae, or Media Gratii, if you want to get your Latin more correct, I'm told, which is a media company which has done several films. And today we're going to be speaking about their latest, Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God. Welcome, Matthew. It's great to have you with us as well.
Thanks, Camden. It's good to meet you guys and good to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much.
While we're showing deference, and I'll just go ahead and say I am the Puritan expert in this conversation. So just ask me anything you want to know.
Yeah.
And I'll lay it out for you.
And I'm sure you
actually have. Actually, I was going to give up my spot to Dr. Beakey if he's available, David. So you can just let him know.
Well, I'm sure for any question we may have, you have clips, you know, in Premiere or Avid, whatever you're using, at the ready. So you can just fire them up and we'll be ready to go. Today, you can head on over to a website if you'd like to follow along and see what we're talking about. But Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God is available now, and you can head to the Media Gratiae website, which is mediagratiae.org, mediagratiae.org, or perhaps a quicker redirect URL, you can go to themeansofgrace.org, which will send you over there. And you'll see this new film, but it's not just a film. There's a documentary film, which is tremendous. We're going to focus on that and talk about that today, on Puritans. Again, titled Puritan, All of Life to the Glory of God. But there's also a box set, which includes a book. It includes a Sunday school curriculum and workbook. There are many resources available. I believe Jeff has them in front of him.
Yeah.
I've got a digital copy of the film. But here we have a live unboxing.
A live unboxing.
Jeff.
Am I going to make my millions?
Yeah.
So here,
on YouTube.
Here is the book.
It's beautiful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's one item. Then there is the workbook.
Mm-hmm.
That goes along with the lesson. So you have the movie proper, right?
And of course, this is playing well for audio, but you have to get to the video version to see what Jeff's pulling out here. But
sorry about that. And then there, you have these nice little cards too.
Yeah.
Location, so things you can put on your refrigerator. So you've got the movie, and then you have the 35 lessons that you could use with a Sunday school class if you wanted to do that.
DVD set, correct?
DVD,
yeah.
That's correct. So all of that in there. So you've got the book, the workbook, the movie, and the 35 lessons.
Mm-hmm. There's also instructions on how to stream it as well in there. So that's included for those people who no longer have DVD players.
Right. Which is increasing, you know, and that's how I consume the film. I streamed it, watched it, and certainly accessible and usable that way. But having the full box set is tremendous, and there's just a wonderful amount of resources we can dive down into that. So that's available now. You can go to Media Gratia website. The current price listed, you can see, is on sale for $115 for the whole box set, which is a lot of material and resources there. You get 35 lessons in addition to the film itself with the book, workbooks, and all that sort of thing. So great opportunity, great deal there with some tremendous content.
Well, I appreciate that. I'd also like to point out that it is available at heritagebooks.org as
yes.
well. So you just, yeah.
Thank you for
Wherever
that
you're
reminder.
Doing your Christmas shopping, just mm-hmm. head on over there and grab it.
We love our brothers at Heritage Books. And that is, again, as Matthew said, heritagebooks.org. And there's always great deals going on, not just on the film and other things, but just a wealth of riches. And so last time we were in Grand Rapids, we headed over and took a look, and it's almost dangerous because you end up loading up the proverbial cart or the metaphorical cart with all of these books and come home.
Yeah.
My wife's like, what are you doing? Are you ever going to read these? And that's not the point.
They insulate walls really well.
Yeah.
I see behind you there. That's probably the warmest room in the house.
Right? Yeah. There you go. Yeah. We love it. And so my seems to be my life's goal is to always be acquiring books faster than I can read them. But you never know when you're going to need it, right? So today, again, talking Puritans, but I want to open up with both of you, either of you, whoever would like to take the ball and run with it. But just speak about the project in general. I believe, David, when we were back there, it was a year ago last April. So a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Okay. And I think, Matthew, you might have been on location getting some more drone footage. The film is wonderfully shot. There's great cinematography. Oh. And there are a lot of interviews and talking heads, but it's not exclusively that. It's stitched together well, not only with a lot of on-location shots and drone footage that's gorgeous, especially in these locations, but also some tremendous illustrations and animation work, to especially illustrating and animating the timeline. So it's all stitched together very well, and it's segmented well, it's structured very well. It's easily understandable, and it's narrated by Dr. Beakey, who does the overdubs on a lot of scenes, but also is in person narrating and stitching the whole thing together. So it's not just a bunch of disparate conversations, but there's a flow that moves from beginning to end. So well done, brothers. But tell us about the project. How did the idea originally surface, and when did you begin work on this? Because it must have taken forever.
Well, shall I give that a go, Matthew, and you jump in and correct me at any point?
That'd be great.
So I think probably over the past 5 years or so, maybe that far back, Matthew and I kept bumping into each other at all the usual conferences that you'd expect. In Minneapolis, in Louisville, in all over the place. And us as exhibitors, we would end up going out and eating and chatting and throwing ideas around. And one of the challenges was, okay, nobody's done the definitive Puritan resource. I represent Puritan Seminary. It should probably be us. If we don't do it, somebody else might do it, and they might not give it the same emphasis. And so I think that was a challenge that percolated for a little while. And when opportunity arose, probably two or three occasions, I probably pushed the idea with Dr. Beakey, saying, you know, I know you're a book man. I know that's what you understand and you're comfortable with, but I really think we have an opportunity here to reach people with a different medium and also provide, the phrase we've been using is an on-ramp to the Puritans, an entryway. These men are not hard to understand. There is an easy way to get into them without jumping straight to you know, the long-winded, more difficult examples that we might be scared off by. And over recent decades, ourselves at Reformation Heritage and Banner of Truth and a few other publishers have been publishing the kind of, you know, Puritan paperback, Puritan treasures, simple introductions. But people have still got to pick the book up and dedicate maybe an hour, a couple of hours to reading it. And we really wanted an overview, much like Media Gratia did with Lloyd Jones with Logic on Fire. But the challenge was, how on earth do we tell over a century worth of history in 2 hours and multiple people's stories? How do we do that justice? How do we get across truth, not just the biographies and all those kind of challenges? And so in my mind, we saw the expertise of Media Gratia, who'd done the movie of Lloyd Jones, but then they'd also done the Bible studies. So I think what we saw was the opportunity to do some kind of combination package, sort of do this once and then any other person comes along and says, well, we can't beat that. That was our intention anyway. We wanted this to be the highest quality it could possibly be. And with music and animation and everything that you described and really get people excited about what we'd already seen and what multiple people have already seen, the richness, the beauty of Puritanism with its flaws, and we don't hide that either. But how these can enhance our lives. And so Dr. Beakey took hold of that vision, submitted somewhat to going on camera. He wasn't completely happy with the whole thing.
The idea, yeah.
Well, you know, just because he I don't know how many times he said it during this whole process. I'm a bookman, and it's true. But we got him out of his comfort zone, and I think it was worthwhile. And I think the result is very good. And so from that point, we did all the usual things and produced budgets and plans and scripts and, you know, initial meetings to see if this could possibly work. And then once we decided it could, we went into that whole production process. You can take over if you like at that point, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear. I mean, you guys are as conversant with the Puritans as anyone, as much as none of us want to step up and say, well, we're experts on the Puritans, but we do love to read these men. And, you know, we didn't just start reading the Puritans this year. And so it's really encouraging to me to hear you guys say that it was good. It was a good film. You enjoyed it. There were things in there that benefited you, because, you know, we wanted to accomplish that with it, but we really, I want to pick up on what David was saying. We wanted to talk to the person in the pew at, say, you know, Bouncing Branch Baptist Church in Missouri, somewhere in middle America, who, you know, they love the Lord, they love his word, but they've not read the Puritans, and they might be afraid that the Puritans were too academic, or that they were, you know, this stuff was written so long ago, how could it possibly be relevant to the things that we're facing in our day?
Right.
And, you know, we wanted to show that if you've read the Puritans, you think this was written this year. This is because, you know, God hasn't changed and the state of mankind hasn't changed. And so, you know, all of these things, the scriptures clearly speak to those things, and the Puritans are just delivering the scriptures to us. So, yeah, we wanted it to be a bit of an on-ramp. And the success that Media Gratia has seen with the video-based Bible studies like the Behold Your God study and the documentaries that we've done highlighting historical figures, it's not necessarily a sign of health in our day and age, because the books exist. I mean, if you were to go in the next room over from where David is sitting, I mean, there are the books. There they are. Go and pick them up and read them. But people are not as willing to do that. And so we want to encourage them to do that. That's our hope, is that you may be listening to this and you may be, you know, your whole bookshelf may be Puritans. And hopefully I think there'll be something in this film for you. But there are people that you know and love, people who are in your church or people who are in your family that you want to see have a better grasp on what the scripture teaches, and this whole issue of doctrine and experience coming together for this warm experiential Calvinism. And you know that the Puritans are maybe the best help that we have for that. And so, you know, for you to put this film into their hands, we believe will lead to, you know, them wanting to pick up, as David said, you know, Puritan treasures for today. And then eventually they're going to be digesting all of Owen's works and, you know, all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
I was going to say the quality of the shooting is and the music and the art is really good. So even those of us who have been reading Puritans for years will benefit and enjoy the movie. The shots on location can't beat those. And I also loved your Lloyd Jones movie as well. So I mean, it's for me it was like playing to the choir, right?
I should say just offhand that I believe the Logic on Fire, I watched part of it on Amazon Prime streaming. Is it still available there for people?
It is. Yeah. You can go. You can go and watch that on Amazon Prime here in the States and in the UK and I think in Canada. And it's available, you know, Reformation Heritage Books sells that, Banner of Truth sells that. Of course, it's at MediaGratier.org. And we have a bit of a deluxe edition box set for that that's available physically too. So you can look that up. And I really appreciate you guys saying so. I just sit here as the representative of MediaGratier. I'm representing a lot of really talented people who made those things happen. I served as a producer on this film. I sat down and did, I guess, all of the interviews, asking the questions. So all the talking that you see, you know, the men were looking at me. I was asking those questions. So I'll have a lot to give an account for one day. but when it comes to the animation, that's a team of guys that are incredibly talented. Some of them are actually in Mark Jones Church up in Vancouver. So some believers on that team. And then Stephen McCaskill was the director of this film, and he was the DP, director of photography. So all those beautiful shots and the beautiful editing.
Yeah, that's his work.
That lands right in Stephen McCaskill's lap. And you guys will know Stephen. He did the Luther film. Yep. He did Through the Eyes of Spurgeon and some other projects. He's now come on as the co-director of MediaGratier. He's living down here in Mississippi with us, and we, you know, we're working together going forward. So I don't want to take credit for how good the film is, because there was a massively talented group of people who worked on it.
Yeah, you know, any film, anyone who's had any experience with anything like that knows how much of a team effort it has to be. But just pass our thanks on. Hopefully maybe some folks from the team can see this, but just thank you for your work and also everyone at MediaGratier and of course everyone at RHB and Puritan for their contribution as well. It truly is a team effort to the benefit of the church that now we pray many, many more people will, you know, find access to and be introduced to the Puritan works and find them to be a benefit as so many have in the past. But now this new generation, perhaps through this new medium, a different medium can find, and I hope that many of them also become bookmen, just like Dr. Beakey. But there's a special place for film. It's a very powerful thing. And, you know, I've read not a ton compared to some other folks around here, but, you know, I've read my share of Puritan books, and I was tremendously benefited by the film. I wanted to ask you, brothers, and you know, you've already addressed somewhat some of the objectives in terms of what you're seeking to achieve with the film. But I'd like to ask more specifically in terms of the structure of the film, the people who haven't seen it yet, how, you know, what's the general skeleton or the scaffolding of the film so that people might know how it's structured and might know how to use it? I imagine many people might be watching it at home, but you have the accompanying Sunday school resources, but, you know, there could be other ways. And I found the structure quite useful for multiple applications. I assume that was intentional.
Yeah, we designed it, I think it was 7 chapters, right, Matthew? And each named differently, all the way from the precursors to Puritanism. So we spend the first, you know, few minutes introducing the theme, the importance, really trying to get people engaged in how this will benefit you. But then we go into the timeline effectively, where that's all animated. We're following the line of history, and we go to some of the forerunners, the pre-reformers, and then through to the Reformation, and give that brief history to see those pillars of the faith established by, you know, the Calvins, Luthers, Tyndales, and others, and then show how the next generation, through William Perkins as the architect of Puritanism, build on those key pillars and put the flesh on and say, okay, well, how does this theology, this rekindling of theology, not new theology, but how does it practically work? How do I preach? How do I lead my family? And so we go through individuals. We do touch on the main Puritans in the movie as well as in the lessons, but the lessons are obviously in much more depth. And then we go through the whole story, and the persecutions and the ups and the downs of the time period of the 15th, 16th, 17th century. And then we do go into application at the end and apply it to people's lives today, because we didn't just want to leave it as a historical documentary. One of our key objectives was the so what? So what today? And also, we also wanted to demonstrate that there's a Puritan mindset that continued after the Puritans through each of the centuries, through, you know, the Whitfields, the Spurgeons, the Lloyd-Jones. And then we wanted to push that to today as well, that mindset is still needed, is still valuable. You know, there are maybe some different ways we do things, but it's essential that we have that love for the word, that grasp of the importance that everything we do should be to the glory of God, hence the subtitle. So that was the strong objective that we had right from the start, that we don't just want to tell people the information about the Puritans. We wanted to experientially show people that we have the same God, the same truth, and the same message to pass on to others, that God will continue to use to save people. So that was the main thrust behind it from our perspective, and I think we all grasped hold of that vision, and I hope we got that message across.
You did.
Yeah.
I think it. People watching this, if they haven't read Puritans, I would hope that it would kindle an interest, a fire of interest in them, to delve into. And there's so many different writers, and they're not all the same in style, nor even with one writer is the various books that they have left behind for us to benefit from. They're not all the same. There's different formats, catechisms, sermons, deep theological academic treatises, and so on and so forth. So, and one of the benefits of the movie is, you know, talking about that, and as well as the lives and the times of the Puritans. One of the benefits, of course, is that I knew before I even saw it that you would be giving an appreciative view. In other words, I'm not watching this and someone has an axe to grind in the sense of wanting to disparage. Yeah.
It's not like Bill Maher produces Puritan or something.
Right, exactly.
But at the same time, we wanted to be fair and avoid
right.
Oh, yes, right. It's not hagiography, but it is, doesn't have to be hagiography. You know, that's a false dilemma. Or either you're tearing them up, you're disparaging, or you're hagiographical. I'm thinking, no, those are two, it's a false dilemma. You can be critically appreciative, right? We have God's word. and we compare the Puritans, the various writers, and the history as we know it to the scriptures, and we bring that to bear. And there are going to be some things that we don't agree with, and there are going to be many things that we think, wow, I don't think that could ever be surpassed. We may be revived. It would be a good idea. Mm-hmm. But you know, and I think Dr. Beakey himself has talked about some of the, he's negatively maybe thinking of the length of a Puritan sermon, that kind of thing, that where we would want to take a different approach.
Kevin DeYoung, he had some comments on that. There's some helpful things there. It's really useful.
So there is, there's also those false caricatures we wanted to deal with, that Shakespeare and other people, Nathaniel Hawthorne and others, put across these caricatures of Puritans, which need dealing with too. So, that's part of it. And when we were selling or pre-selling this, and we're so thankful to so many people who were patient with us and were supportive and ordered this before it actually came out. Some of those who bought a box at a conference before it came out also received like one of these little bookmarks. And this was a Spurgeon one. You can see we've got some different animation. And we have a quote on there. It says, "God has power to give us back again a golden age of preachers, a time as fertile of great divines and mighty ministers as was the Puritan age, which many of us account to have been the golden age of theology." And so even Spurgeon was sort of harking back to that Puritan age, saying, we need more of that today. And we can say the same thing today. So the legacy lives on, and we need to rekindle it further.
The History Channel or someone like that could have made an accurate documentary and said these things happened on these dates. But that we really, what we're concerned with is we want to get all that right, but we also want to say, what was it that so gripped these men that they were willing to give their lives for these truths in the scripture? And then, why couldn't God so grip men in pulpits in our day? And I believe that he has and will continue to. And we wanted to encourage people to stand for these truths. And I know we had a screening for this, and had a brother come and tell me that he was in the middle of basically being brought up. His session was basically trying to get rid of him because of his allegiance to the truth of the scripture as communicated through the Westminster Standards. And he felt that steel had been put in his spine by just watching the film, remembering that we do have a great heritage of men, and remembering the cost for faithfulness to the Word of God, and that he was able to go back and face that situation, encouraged. So I pray that that happens all around the world. We're a nonprofit. We're not here to make money on DVDs. That's a bad plan in 2019 anyway. we want to see God encourage and move in his church. And, we know that takes place through the ordinary means of grace, hence the name of our ministry, Media Gratiae. And we're not seeking to supplant that with film, but we do want to challenge and encourage a group of Christians and ministers and lay people in our day to really ask ourselves, with the similarities to the time that they lived in and the time that we live in, are we willing to pay the costs that they paid for faithfulness? And that day may be upon us sooner than we realize it, with the sexual revolution and gender issues and all of the different things where there will be no middle ground. Are we willing to be faithful? And we won't be the first generation called upon to be faithful. So hopefully it's an encouragement.
Now, I'd love to talk a bit about the curriculum, the 35 lessons, because I'm sure many people's interest was piqued when hearing that, because it's always useful to have, good and solid and edifying resources for Sunday schools, especially since churches might not have a a full range or a lot of different teachers. So it's helpful sometimes to give people a break, but also to bring in some experts, even if by recording, to talk about some important subjects that can benefit the life of the church. So what can people expect when, you know, if they get the box set or the full-blown, the full, you know, slate of lessons? What types of lessons are in there? How are they structured, just even in terms of length? And how might a church, you know, be expected to use these resources?
Yeah, so there are 35 lessons, and they're meant to be used in Sunday schools or small groups. They could certainly be used in homeschool or even in family worship for study, even personal use. Those are split into basically two focuses. The first focus is biographical. So you may have Sinclair Ferguson talking for about 18 minutes on John Owen. Who was he? Where did he live? More importantly, what were some of the things that he really emphasized? What were some things in his life that we can see? He made this choice here. He made it because of this conviction. Why did he do that? Why should I do that? So again, they're not just History Channel biographies. They're meant to inspire and push us forward. So you have J.I. Packer and Richard Baxter, Joel Beakey on Thomas Goodwin, Michael Haken on Oliver Cromwell, Mark Dever on Richard Sibbes. And those are anywhere from 10 minutes to 15 minutes. I should point out that it's some of the studies that we've done, you know, there's a week one, and you do week one, and then you do week two, and you do week three, and it builds upon each other. But these 35 lessons, you're not meant to sit down and do week one and go all the way through week 35. You could do, but you could also go through as a minister or as the person who organizes the small groups for your church and say, I think these eight would be really helpful us to do in an 8-week series. You know, you wouldn't have to just, you could pick from them. The other focus is, I guess, Puritan themes. So for instance, you have Chad Van Dixhorn on the Westminster Assembly or John Snyder on the Puritans on regeneration and conversion. And there's a whole series of these Puritans on. So you have Puritans on conscience from David Murray, or Puritans on marriage from Joel Beakey, or on shepherding from Bill Van Dudeward. And again, we realize that it's said so often that it just becomes a mantra, but there is no the Puritans on. We're not assuming that the Puritans are monolithic on these things. But if you read them in general, this is the general theme that comes through that we think is helpful and we should try to pick up and ask ourselves, could we learn something from that in our day?
Well, it's also worth saying that each of these is backed up by the workbook that Jeff held up for those watching on the video, but the workbook covers each of those lessons, gives more depth, but then gives a timeline for each of the biographies and then reflection questions and discussion questions. But importantly, after each section there, there's a list of suggested resources for further reading. So we don't just want people to leave it there. We're saying, okay, well, if you were particularly interested when Dr. Beakey spoke on the Puritans on marriage and family, then here are two or three resources that you could go to from here.
Mm-hmm. I'm always looking for resources that sometimes fill in the gaps. So sometimes we might have a Sunday school series, and then before jumping into yet another one, we're going to start up another, you know, book of the Bible or something like that. Sometimes it's helpful just to have 2, 3, or 4 weeks of like a palate cleanser, or to get into something that you know, might be helpful, but you're not going to develop over the course of several months. It might even be useful for that, where you can every once in a while in the seams of the larger lessons, you might do 2 or 3 of these individual lessons and then come back to them the next time you have a break. So there's a tremendous flexibility and adaptability, it sounds like, to this curriculum where it could be useful for a lot of different settings and in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, we hope so. We had a lot of people flying into Grand Rapids to film these sessions. A lot of effort was made on them. And so we really hope that as well as the movie, that these lessons are very rich for people.
Yeah. Got to, maybe this isn't the most edifying question, but it's just out of curiosity. Tell me some of the drone mishaps. Surely there are some, or even legalities. Going to some of these locations, we've got castles, we've got old cathedrals, and you never know what the laws are in different areas. Surely you have some blooper reels or something like that with a drone getting shot down like over a church or something like that.
I couldn't really speak to that. Sorry.
Well,
understood.
Okay. You stop me if we get sensitive here, Matthew, but Matthew has an incredible ability to get to know people very quickly, and they become conducive to our plan and allow us to film where we want to film. And we, you know, like royal palaces and things, and you need permission months ahead.
Yeah.
And yet within 5 minutes, Matthew and his, what did you call it? Mississippi something or other?
I'm a Southerner, you know, I can't help it. You just go up and start speaking music to them with that Southern drawl, and they're just happy to see you at that point.
Well,
that's an issue. Romans 13 is in my Bible too, and you know, we don't want to break any laws.
Well, of course not.
In the name of God. So, you know, but we sometimes, I mean, these are not major budget, Hollywood motion pictures where we have it all sorted out a year ahead of time. It's funny, when we were filming in Edinburgh, there was debris all around from the Avengers movie having been shot there around the same time. So we're not on that same level. So sometimes you have to show up and go in and find the person in charge and talk to them and let them know, hey, we're doing an educational thing. We're a nonprofit. This is for churches. And we just, can we come in here and get some shots? And hopefully it'll increase your tourism. I know that's been the case. A lot of people say, oh, I've seen this now and I've got to go to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't presuming you ever ran afoul of the law. I just know drone usage and stuff. You never know what might happen. It can be a finicky thing.
Well, there was a couple of situations like we were in Dover, the White Cliffs of Dover, 26 miles from France, and we're filming there, and the wind was incredibly high. We got drenched to the skin, but Stephen insisted on sending the drone up over Dover Castle and things like that. And I think there was a moment that he was a bit worried, because when the drone was supposed to be on its way back, it wasn't moving too quickly back towards him.
Yeah, it was having a fight. There have been a few times. I mean, there's some shots. There's a shot of Arthur's Seat, which is that big majestic mountain overlooking the historic bits of Edinburgh. And the wind that blows in, what's that called up there? The Firth of Fifth, of Sixth, of Seventh?
Firth of Fourth, yeah.
Yeah. The wind that comes in off of that is incredibly strong, especially as you get up high. And so there've been some times where we see what the drone's seeing, but we don't see the drone anymore.
Yeah.
And we're sending up some prayers.
I think Stephen's most stressful moment was in Delfshaven in the Netherlands, where the Pilgrim Fathers left on the Speedwell to come and pick up the Mayflower in Plymouth. But he was flying that drone up a Dutch canal between all these sailing boats with masts and ropes, and he was focused right then.
I want to get those propellers caught in the tackle.
Yeah. And to be fair, drones are one of the scariest things in the world. I mean, they're just they're offset, they're off-putting when they're just standing there going. Because I grew up on Star Wars, and I just think this thing's here to shoot me with a laser beam.
Well, it is somewhat unnatural too, just in the way that the gyroscopes and everything work, that you don't see things in real life just in the air, not moving, just steady. Yeah. And it's a beautiful, the footage you get out of a modern drone is unbelievable. It's tremendous. And you just see things you can't, you can get shots nowadays you could never get. And it's not just video too, where people are using a lot of drones for straight photography, still photography, because you can get them into places you could never see. And so even for that, that adds such a dimension. And this isn't just like a film just to show off drone footage, but it's used tastefully and it's used to support the story as a good film ought to do. But I do commend it. It's tremendous to see these locations, because it kind of transports you to the place. And even though now obviously a lot of these buildings are not necessarily in the same shape they were 300, 400, 500 years ago, nevertheless you get a place of a sense of setting and context. And then you might hear a story about Thomas Cranmer, for example, and you recognize, oh wow, well that's where he was. I never thought about that. That's not how I imagined it. And so in that regard, those are things that a film can do. That's the skill, the strength of this medium, where a book is in many ways superior for many reasons, but this is one area in which a film can be of service to the story in a way that other forms of media cannot.
Mm-hmm. It's the being there format, I guess. I was going to mention that, Cam. I was going to say, very often as I was seeing the photography, I was thinking, wow, what I imagined was way off base, or in some instances what I imagined was right on. And so that was the one of the interesting things. So for those who have already been reading the Puritans, this will be an interesting eye-opening experience for the readers and listeners and watchers of our program, that they will enjoy, I think, be brought, caught up and captivated by the whole package.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really appreciate that. There's a beautiful shot. It's one of my favorites, when we're in Anworth, where Samuel Rutherford ministered. And if you know Samuel Rutherford's life, you know that it was a life of not without suffering and loss and bereavement. And he would often go for walks back behind the church and go through the woods and go up to the hilltops there. And so while we were there, it just happened. There's a bush. What's the name of that bush, David?
It's a gorse bush.
Gorse.
Yellow,
gorse,
yeah.
Bush. Oh, they were in full bloom. It was a beautiful, radiant, sunny day in Scotland, if you could imagine that. And those are in full bloom, and we're flying, you know, way above Rutherford's monument, and you're looking down and you think, yeah, those are the woods. This is what it looked, you know, the bushes haven't changed since Rutherford's day. And so this is where he would have walked and, you know, sought the Lord and found him, you know. So it is nice to see those.
Yeah,
things.
It's powerful, moving.
Not much else to say other than get it, watch it, use it in your church for Sunday school, use lessons in your own private viewing. You'll be enriched, I think, tremendously.
I'd like to ask, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe it goes without saying, at least with our crowd, it shouldn't necessarily, but we've done several episodes before. I'm thinking of one with Randy Peterson, just trying to get around the subject of defining a Puritan. And that's tradition. We don't need to get into the subject today, of course, but it's traditionally actually quite difficult to come up with a specific set of guidelines for what is a Puritan. Randall Peterson, who is a co-editor of this Meet the Puritans volume over here with Dr. Beakey, you know, suggested maybe we have something of a family resemblance model, whereas you might have a whole series of doctrines or proclivities, and then a Puritan is somebody who kind of participates or expresses many of those, maybe not every single one. Because whenever you take somebody who is a Puritan, you know, you might find one thing that they don't fit with the others on. So that's one way of thinking about Puritans, but there's also sometimes a historical context in which you think it might stretch into Jonathan Edwards, or Jonathan Edwards might be the last Puritan. Jeff, I'm sure, could speak much to this. But you do include figures more contemporary. We did mention Martin Lloyd-Jones. But on that regard, and in line with all the comments you've raised about this Puritan ethos and the enduring legacy, I'm wondering how we might think of the Puritan movie and then Logic on Fire together. How do you see these as supporting one another, and how might people be interested not just in one or the other, but seeing them somewhat as a tandem?
The scriptures use historic narrative, I mean, I'm thinking here of Hebrews, the Hall of Heroes there in Hebrews. And when we see men's faithfulness, as we're called to do by the author of Hebrews there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not only are we encouraged to kill the sin that so easily entangles us and to press forward to the goal, but we're also, I mean, the immediate call is to look beyond these men and look to the author and the finisher of our faith and to look to Jesus. And so, you know, again, I'm not interested in history because of history as much as I'm interested in the fact that this is the Christian life and we're called to live it. And how should we live it?
Yeah.
Are there any examples? Are there any footprints on this path that if we only knew what they did in this situation, maybe we would know, we could avoid some serious error that has already been committed perhaps by generations ahead of us or behind us. And we might be able to follow in some good footsteps. And so in that sense, I think that's why we read biography. That's why we watch, hopefully, biography through these different films. I hope that is one of the ways. And then speaking of the whole issue of who is the last Puritan, we look and we ask ourselves, okay, what were these men gripped by? What was the spirit? What were the marks of Puritanism? Obviously, we're not Anglicans who are trying to lead a reform movement within the Anglican Church in a certain, you know, bygone century. So we don't fit that description. But my hope is the last Puritan, you know, he's living in Wyoming somewhere, and he's gripped by these realities, and he watches this thing and realizes, I see what I need to do now. And in that sense, the last Puritan, you know, lives on and way after we're dead.
Right.
That same spirit of Puritanism that will continue because it's a love for God's word and a conviction and, you know, that joining of spirit and truth, light and heat, to use Lloyd-Jones' example.
I mean, I would build on that. You're asking about how do we know what a Puritan is? We've tried to define it in many different ways. Well, there is a very famous essay by Puritan John Geary, who I think he was born in 1600, died in 1649. And actually in Dr. Beakey's Puritan theology class, I shouldn't give this away because he might keep the same exam question, but we had to read that and then answer, you know, describe a Puritan. And that was one of six questions in 2 hours that we had to answer. And John Geary writes about the character of an old English Puritan or nonconformist. And what we've done with that essay is, as we were driving around all these different beautiful places, as well as Stephen McCaskill shooting the movie, he also took the highest of quality cameras with him and were producing a beautiful photography book of all the Puritan sites. And so, you know, really thick paper, just like those high quality photo books that you see. But interspersed within the beautiful photographs is John Geary's essay on what a Puritan is, with kind of an exposition by Dr. Beakey. So you can say, this is John Geary. I mean, I'll just give you the first two. The old English Puritan was such a one that honored God above all, and under God gave everyone his due. His first care was to serve God, and therein he did not what was good in his own sight, but in God's sight, making the word of God the rule of his worship. And he goes on, it's like bullet points. What is a Puritan? What is he like? And so we've got that coming, you know, next May in beautiful book. And it finishes, this is Dr. Beakey, having sketched Geary's depiction of the ideal Puritan character, we can now recognize what the Puritan's goal was. They yearned to live wholly and solely for the glory of God. In the Puritan mind, all of the above is involved in that pursuit. And so it's a beautiful essay that we're bringing out, rich content alongside these beautiful sites as well. So you'll have to read the whole thing. I don't just read it to you now.
Yeah. Sounds like the quintessential coffee table book. You know,
yeah.
That's what we're aiming for.
That sounds, brothers, it sounds like the description of the Puritan, the ideal Puritan, is the Colossians 3:1-17 and further. You know,
set your mind on things above.
Since you've been raised with Christ, think on things above, right? So that really would be, whether that was in John Geary's mind, but you're talking about someone who was himself a Puritan, I gather.
That's it.
So that's helpful to have
in his own period. Yeah.
I mean, so we know that was an issue even in at the time that the Puritans were a living, breathing historical movement. And so that we'll look forward to that book when it comes out.
Yeah.
That ought to be a beautiful thing.
You brothers have any other projects? That one's tremendous to hear of. Yeah. But what's most exciting? Maybe not necessarily directly on point, but I'm just curious in general.
Yeah.
If what is most exciting to you in terms of things that might be forthcoming from Reformation Heritage or from Media Gratia?
This is my job, so I could go on for another hour.
Well, I know. I asked the sales and marketing guy what's going on. So yeah, here it comes.
Yeah, I mean, what we're doing right now is we're gearing up for the Puritan Conference next June at John MacArthur's Church, and we're trying to finish some key projects in time for that. And one of those key projects are the works of William Perkins. We've currently finished up to volume 7, but all 10 volumes will be out in time for that conference.
You have them right behind you there, David, shelf. The blue and black volumes. Yep.
That's true. And then another major project we're working on is, I can show it to the people who watch the video, but right in the middle of the screen there.
Oh, yeah.
Looks very similar to Meet the Puritans and Puritan Theology. It's called Awe from the Puritan's Mind. And so what that is a huge, I don't know if you've seen the Puritan Theology book, it's a similar size to that. And it's a collection of Puritan quotations based by theme. And so that's another huge project that we hope to be out by that time. And we did not so long ago, you'll see how we're trying to get the Puritans to different demographics. We did recently produce the Puritan Heroes book. See, I'm ready for this question.
Mm.
And this is Christopher Love on the front, about to lose his head, unfortunately, the Welsh Puritan. But what that does is it takes you through the history of the Puritans, fully illustrated, color. But importantly, we've used this for evening family devotions. There are questions at the end asking you, personal application, experiential questions for children. So we're trying to get this experiential Puritan theology to as far and wide as we can, to readers, to people who watch videos, to children, and now to conference goers.
Yeah, wonderful. And that's in June. Is there a link or how might people follow up searching for that?
Yeah, June 3-5 at Grace Community Church. We're not far from announcing the speaker list, and we're not far from starting the ticket sales
registration.
So that's in Joel Beakey in partnership with John MacArthur and friends.
And
the friends will be revealed shortly.
Et al. Yeah.
You can go to puritanconference.org, and that has the save the date, and I think you can sign up for updates there as well. So
tremendous. And what's going on at the Media Gratia? Do you have any other anything you can announce, or at least whet our appetite?
I wish I could tell you. it's all these non-disclosure agreements that are in the way. I can tell you about this. Doing multimedia Bible studies. We have seen that go into churches where there are hungry people who wouldn't have thought of it, are we Reformed? Are we not Reformed? You know, these are just hungry people that want more of God and want more of the scriptures. And they are disappointed by the next big thing that comes along every generation or every decade saying, this is it, seeker sensitive or whatever. And so that has been good, but that has also led a little bit to people saying, okay, me and my DVD and me and my whole group of people.
Yeah.
And so as a bit of a corrective to that, and because it's a project that we just believe in and want to do, we have been working for a while now on a project on the church to show, it's been our hope through the Behold Your God study series to begin with God, to raise people's views and ideas and what comes into our minds when we think of God to be biblically informed, and to really focus on the attributes. And if these things are true, then what does that mean for our lives? And now we want to say to that same demographic, okay, so we now have a high view of God, and that's wonderful. And we need to understand that God has a high view of the local church, and that he, you know, Christianity and the local church are not ever meant to operate independent of one another. And so we've put together a film that really does historical ecclesiology, kind of goes back and traces how did the doctrine of the church develop from the time of Christ and the apostles. It went some strange places. How do we explain that? How does it then come back together into this era of the Puritan era, the confessions and the idea of the local church there? And how does that work out in our day? And there's also going to be a multimedia study based around that, just looking at some of the essential components of the local church. And that's going to be out sometime in next year.
Wonderful.
That's one of the things that we'll be releasing next year. I wish I could tell you about some of the big projects that we're working on that we'll be actually creating next year, but it's just not time to make those announcements.
Sure. And you need to do that in your own time. But people can stay updated at the Media Gratiae website, mediagratiae.org. Or you can go to themeansofgrace.org, which will redirect you there. And I'm sure there are ways to stay in touch, not just by reading the website and checking it, but I'm sure there's a way to subscribe or stay connected in a variety of ways. And, of course, Reformation Heritage Books is at heritagebooks.org, or you can head on over to the Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary website as well. A lot of great things going on. And check out the Puritan Conference in June. If that doesn't conflict with your General Assembly or whatever else might be going on in June, sometimes those are busy months, but it sounds like a tremendous event going on out in the L.A. area. So all that's available, but brothers, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate you taking your time and not just all the labors that you've done and sharing them with the church, but also even today to speak with us and share these things with our listeners. Thanks so much.
Very welcome.
Such a joy. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it. Check out the website, so you can head on over to our site as well, reformedforum.org. There you'll find information about this program and other programs and other events, things coming up. We've got a big year ahead of us next year, and more information on that and kind of a schedule of events and things going on coming up through our email list shortly. So stay tuned to that and subscribe if you haven't already. But I do want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.